I'd like to read with you this evening from Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Now, perhaps you're well familiar with this chapter, but every time I read it, I seem to learn something new. And so I would like to read from verse 24 to verse 28. So Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come up to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Now, we believe that the Lord will bless to us a reading of this portion. As you could probably appreciate, what is upon my mind is Moses. And so often when we think of Moses, well, our mind might go to the giving of the law. And that would be an interesting subject to look at, because each law that you look at is really a revelation of the righteous character of our God. So studying the law might be interesting. And then we could look at the Moses and the building of the tabernacle. And that would be a thrilling study as well, because really, as you look at study the tabernacle, you are seeing an unfolding of the glories of Christ. And that would be interesting. But then we could look at Moses as he led the children of Israel through the wilderness. And that would be thrilling and encouraging too, because really, the wilderness journey is a manifestation of the leading of the Holy Spirit in the life of God's people. And it's emphasized in the cloud that was there by day and the pillar of fire by night. But that's really not what's upon my mind. For what is really upon my mind are these three times when God looked upon Moses and said, this is his faith. This is when he exercised great faith. And we read the first one, by faith Moses. He chose to be with the people of God. God said that was a great step of faith on Moses' part. And we look back at the life of Moses before he made that decision, before he stepped out in faith. And Acts chapter 7 tells us that Moses was a brilliant scholar in the things of, in the wisdom of Egypt. And in Exodus chapter 2, it tells us that he looked like an Egyptian, he talked like an Egyptian, and he dressed like an Egyptian. But he laid that all aside. And Josephus, that Jewish historian, and he writes that Moses was an accomplished general in the Egyptian army, and that he won brilliant victories over their enemies, particularly on the southern borders of the Empire of Egypt. But he laid that all aside. And God was looking upon his heart. And when we go into 1 Samuel chapter 16, we read these, that the Lord seeth not as man seeth, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And the Lord was looking upon Moses' heart. And this is what impresses me. What God saw in the heart of Moses was a love for the people of God. Moses loved God's people. And if we read through Exodus and Numbers and Deuteronomy over and over again, we have that emphasized. Moses loved God's people. And that's what was precious. That's what God prized. And God said, when Moses took that step, he exercised great faith. And I think of how much the Apostle Paul was like him. Paul said, those things that were gained for me, all the learning and all the accomplishments, they were lost for Christ. Set them all aside. Paul's desire was, what comes upon me daily is the care of all God's people. Moses had a love for God's people. That's what we are being emphasized, I believe, in verse 24. By faith, Moses. But then we come down to verse 27, and we read, by faith, Moses forsook Egypt. And the emphasis here is not when they left Egypt, when he led the people of Israel out of Egypt, but it's when Moses went down to the land of Midian. And that indicates that God says, on Moses' part, that was great faith for him to go and dwell in the land of Midian for 40 years. And I believe that God directed his path. For when he fled from Egypt, God directed his path to that well, to that family. For we read of Moses' father-in-law. And when we first read him, he's called the priest of Midian, the friend of God. And as far as I know in the Bible, there are only three people called the friend of God. Abraham, Moses' father-in-law, and Moses himself, the friend of God. And then if we were to go to Exodus chapter 3 and verse 1, we read that Moses' father and law was his name Jethro means blessed of God, that God blessed him. And then we read that if we were to go to Judges 4, we read that he has another name. And that name means precious in God's sight. These are all these things, and God has brought Moses into that household. Moses is another picture. As Moses is down in the wilderness, he receives a bride. A picture of Christ receiving a bride in the world. But what was marking Moses all those days in the wilderness was submission. Submission. And God prizes submission. Submission to his will, his authority. Because when we submit to him, he is able to teach us. He is able to instruct us. And I can remember back in the 1950s and the early 1960s, I bought a book and I began to read it. And it was a book by Mervyn Paul, and some of you may know that book, and some of you may even have it, Training for Reigning. And Mervyn Paul, when he was writing that book, it was to show the reader that the circumstances we pass through are designed by God to prepare us for the kingdom. God's not ready, doesn't have his mind on you for tomorrow. God has his mind on you for the kingdom that is yet to come. When we shall be with his son, and we shall be with him and learn him. And I've seen sheep a few times. I've seen people who know about sheep, but I don't really know too much about sheep and about what a shepherd should learn. But I find that if we were to turn in Ezekiel chapter 34, we would read God's instructions as to what a shepherd should learn. And they're all practical. The first thing that the Lord emphasizes in chapter, verse 11 of chapter 34 is that they have to learn and identify why the sheep are going astray and to bring them back. Why are they going astray? And bring them back. And then the second thing he has to learn is that sheep need a varied diet. That's in verse 13 of that chapter. They need a varied diet. And God says they need the diet from the mountaintop. That when we are filled with joy and excitement, we need to be fed to keep that joy and excitement. But then he says, they need the food from the valley. When they are discouraged and distressed and downhearted, they need food to lift them up. And then sometimes they're contented and they're happy, and they need the food from the plains, where they can rest and they can feed on that thing that will steady them and preserve them. But then he says, the shepherd will need to know how to search out a resting place for the sheep. A resting place. And then they would need to learn how to calm the anxiety of the sheep. Sheep can get stirred up and anxious and very troubled. And he needs to do it. And I think of that, how to calm their anxieties. And we read in there, how did David calm the anxieties of the sheep? Did you realize he calmed their anxieties with song, with hymns? And the Apostle Paul, in his writing to the Colossians, he says that to stir yourselves, to bring yourselves together with psalms and songs and spiritual singing. And then he says, a shepherd needs to care for the sick and needy. Sheep can get sick. One of the sicknesses, one of the times when the sheep are very needy is, I understand from reading, is that when sheep fall on their back, that they are one of the few animals that cannot turn themselves over again. Once they're lying on the back, they can't even roll to their side. And the shepherd needs to get to them quickly and put them back on their feet. And then, number six, and this is one that I did not really appreciate before, but a shepherd needs to mediate when different sheep are at odds with one another. That rams would be at odds with each other. That ewes would be at odds with one another because of their lambs. And that as a young lamb is growing up, he's at odds with an older one. And the shepherd needs to know how to separate them and to turn their attention away. And then the seventh thing, a shepherd needs to satisfy the thirst of the sheep. Now, these are many things that I didn't really appreciate until I was looking over that in Ezekiel 34. And Moses had to learn this. He had to learn submission. He was a certain period of time in the wilderness of Midian. And you think of that. And some scholars believe that Moses probably heard the story of Job from Job himself while he was in the wilderness of Midian. But the thing that really impresses me is that God determined how long his sojourn in the wilderness of Midian would be. And so when we read in Exodus chapter 3, we read, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto Moses in a flame of fire in the midst of a bush." God brought about the end of his sojourn. And so Moses exercised great faith when he left the palace. He exercised great faith when he left Egypt and went to the wilderness of Midian. But then we come to verse 28. Through faith, Moses kept the Passover. And I think of that. That took, in God's sight, that took tremendous faith on Moses' part to keep the Passover. And how many times have I used that picture of the Passover in the gospel, in speaking in the gospel, and it just passes over as if there was no doubt in Moses' mind that that's what would happen. But God says it took great faith for Moses to keep the Passover. Moses had to set aside human reasoning. Human reasoning. How could blood on the side posts and the lintel of the door save a person? How could that happen? And Moses had to see. It was all in God's hand. God had promised it. God would bring it. God would accomplish it. And so when we read in Exodus chapter 12, we read, "For the Lord," Moses speaking to the children of Israel, says, "For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door." And that's a remarkable thing. The Lord will stand at that door between the avenging angel and those inside, so that that angel cannot enter. You think of how remarkable that is. The Lord will pass over that door. He will stand before that door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. And then we read, "And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they." And we think of this, that God, when God is commending Moses' faith, these are the three things that he commends in Moses. That Moses' step of faith to leave the palace. Moses' faith to go into the wilderness of Midian, to submit to the instructions of a priest of Midian, a friend of God. And Moses to offer the Passover lamb, Those are the things that God prized. And when I think of those three things, I think of this. Moses loved the people of God. Moses submitted to the hand of God. And Moses loved the word of God. He valued God's word because God told him, he obeyed it. And really, those are three things that we can do too. We can value the people of God. We can value the instructions that God has designed for us. In Moses' case, it was through the instruction of Jethro. For us, could be the instruction from fellow believers. And we can prize God's word that he has given us, that we can read and study and appreciate for ourselves. Shall we pray?